Hello, this is Mary Lindo. I am so pleased that you are joining me for this week's teaching podcast. This podcast is prayerfully created each week with the intention of giving you a time of resting in the Lord and for allowing Him to speak into your life through 3 to 5 minute messages and prophetic impressions and insights. Each message is meant to assist you in cultivating your love for the Word of God, combined with the power of His Holy Spirit, confirming His words over your life. Gather your Bible and a cup of coffee or tea, and take a few minutes each week to sit back and allow the peace of God to wash over you as you enjoy soft background music that inspires a restful time of worship and tender moments with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now, let's begin this week's podcast.
This podcast is titled Dark Days, Jezebel on the Rise versus Obedience and Courage. This is a prophetic insight for troubled times. Psalm 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Picture a reception area, an entranceway into the complete protection of the rest of verses in that psalm. It is our password or our way of entry into a protective place when we say, I will say of the Lord. As we proclaim it, as we say it, as we decree, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, we will enter into His safety. In Him will I trust. But how do we get to this point? I believe that we are at this place in time right now where we will have to come to the realization that we must dwell in the secret place of the Most High and live, exist under His shadow. For He alone is almighty and safe enough to protect us. A well-worn path to the secret place. The scripture says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62. We often flippantly quote this without fully acknowledging the seriousness of this statement. We have seen again and again devastations brought on by many failing in the body of Christ. From highly visible individuals to those working in the back stock room of a business, deviant and secretive behaviors inevitably will be exposed and found out. Sadly, many believers who have been called to walk the righteous walk, the walk that depends upon the Lord, and yet when He speaks, when He commands, when He challenges, they do not follow. Psalm 32 verses 7 through 10 address this matter. You are my hiding place. You, Lord, will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And the Lord replies, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by a bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. You see, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in the Lord. Unless the believing bride learns what it means to have a well-worn path to the hiding place, the secret place, secret meaning a place alone, hidden with the Lord, a place of uninterrupted dialogue, instruction, and worship, then she will continue to have public exposures on all levels and among all peoples represented in the body. When we hide ourselves with the Lord, He instructs us. He warns us about the trouble ahead. He sings over us songs of deliverance, and He rejoices over us because of our obedience. Let's talk about the solitary places of life. On the outside, there was nothing that marked the Lord as any different than the common ordinary man, except for one thing. He was separated inside. he knew when it was the Spirit of the Lord driving him into the wilderness, and also that it was not good to be alone for too long. Jesus Christ does not make religious hermits, as Oswald Chambers states. He makes us men and women fit for a world as it is. And he does not expect us to work for him, but with him. The narrow way I speak of, combined with solitary places of life, creates an incubator that the Lord can use. As we submit ourselves to his instructions in times of meeting with him in the secret place, he will instruct us as he stated. We must not be like a mule or a horse that forever needs to be prodded and forced into discipleship. A true disciple, one who was willing to not simply be called, but follow obediently, working with the Lord's plan, will rarely have time to be self-promoting or shouting too loudly about their own divine destinies. Knowing that each day, spending time meditating upon the Word of God, fellowshipping with him in a place of rest and instruction is all that one needs for the tasks at hand. The hallmark of true discipleship will always be noted and noticed by the discipline of one who has a well-worn or a well-beaten path to the place of intimacy and personal deep fellowship with the King of Glory. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. Our destinies for good or evil are completely determined by the voice we choose to obey. Listening to the voice of the Lord and obeying what he says will bring blessings, not always as speedily as our consumer minds prefer, nor will they always come in the format our flesh would desire or dictate. But indeed, the blessings will come. Ignoring the voice of the Lord will bring many curses. It is impossible to obey God without first hearing his voice. His voice tells us what he expects and what he requires, and it is always for our good and the good of mankind. I'm going to address the corporate and congregational Jezebel being exposed. An entire organization can have a functioning Jezebel spirit and then wonder why God never moves among them. This can be a denomination. Many denominations were manufactured by Jezebel. If you can't kill the prophets, divide them up. This can also be a movement. Every move of God starts out right and then drifts off and abandons the value of self-examination and humility, which in turn rejects the next pure move of God. This is a Jezebel tactic. This can be a church body. If only the approved and special team have input, if church leaders put a stop on who can bring the word, if there is intention to control things, you've got a Jezebel on your hands. And this stink will control every little detail of every ministry opportunity for others in the body. The spirit and rebellion of this type of person will sweetly smile to the key leadership, but shame, abuse, and spy on the sheep. And this spirit will lie. Often marriages of those with this behavior are in turmoil, yet they seem to be able to point out the flaws of others and never have their own confronted. It can be a leader. This is why I honor and recommend an outside apostolic leader above a group board of elders or core leadership teams. Biblically, there is and was great safety and godly help for young churches and more established ones when the humble apostolic fathers were called upon or were sent to bring loving but godly order to the often upsetting events that would happen in daily ministry encounters. Thank God for men of God who ignored Jezebel, who fought hard against the allure of her control. I know of many fellowships where she manifests with approval. She is evil. It can be a he as well. Do not let her in. And if she somehow has weaseled her way into your fellowship, if you stand as a senior leader, if you are the Jehu who can throw her down, if you don't, no one will. Be strong. Be courageous. The life of your fellowship is at stake. It will be hard. Jezebel is hardworking and makes herself, it can be a him except in the spirit, indispensable, and uses emotion to get her way. ingratiates the power structure, and it makes it seem impossible to get rid of her, which is the exact reason why you must. She will rule your roost. The words you will use about why you cannot throw her down are, "You have no idea of all the things she does for me. How much of the load she takes off my shoulders. How much we would miss if she weren't here. I don't have anyone to pick up the load if she is gone." Dear directors, leaders, pastors, allow me to introduce you to your house Jezebel, because you just described her. Now throw her down. She is killing you and the move of God among those in your fellowship and relationships. Now I'm going to talk about the reign of grace and the reign of grace, mercy for the merciful. Psalm 109 verse 4 reads, "In return for my friendship they accuse me, but I am a man or a woman of prayer." Jesus taught us that God forgives us in the same measure in which we have forgiven others. He said in Matthew 6:14 through 15 that if we forgive men their trespasses, He, our Heavenly Father, will also forgive us. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If there is a ministry, a foe, a friend, whom we do not forgive within the same measure that the Father has forgiven us, truly, God cannot fully forgive us. We can get all the preachers in America and around the globe to pray for us and to pray over us, but we cannot force out the devil in darkness of our own unforgiveness. We give the enemy consistent access to our churches and our families as long as we lord it over others, hiding our own sin, pretending that God does not see. In order to have the times of refreshing we are crying out for and are desperate for as believers, we must learn to rule and reign with grace. Refreshing rains will not fall and cannot fall in full glory when we refuse to lay down judgments, manipulations, and self-invented spiritual rules that do not run parallel with the King of Grace, who is the ultimate mercy bringer. Mercy, it means to perform out of a desire to relieve suffering, and it is motivated by compassion. The action of forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Mercy shown prevents something unpleasant or provides relief from suffering. Now do yourself an eternal favor. Tell the truth. God will protect you more for doing this than any self-invented cover-up ever could. And you just might regain relationships with those you have used as stepping stones to your own deviant self-empowerment. The heavenly King of Glory is always and forever creating newness of life. If we are indeed man or a woman of prayer, the test will come of that deep prayer life when your enemies surround you, accuse you, and often attempt to execute and silence you. A man or woman of prayer in these days, right now, will learn to sweep out iniquity, falseness, slander, and hierarchical pecking orders through goodness and humility. This is a time to trust, to depend upon, to lean upon the goodness of the Lord, to trust in His sovereignty more than ever. It is His right to define what grace is, not man's. This is a prophetic word and a prophetic exhortation. And so says the Lord, the Spirit of grace, the voice of wisdom, and the only Almighty One. As you cry out for times of refreshing, for a change in the hearts of men, for a move of my Spirit across the lands of earth, my command to you is that you begin to create an atmosphere where I may speak my plans according to my word and according to my prerogative. I will lead you and guide you with enough light each day as you come to that narrow place with me. I will strengthen your weakened spiritual muscles as you dialogue in honesty with me and repent of foolish choices and foolish actions that have caused many to be shattered and shamed because you spoke out of a calling rather than out of following my voice. Begin to dig ditches in prayer. Become addicted and immersed in it, never ceasing. Prepare places where my rain may fall and cause a fresh drinking place for those yet to taste of my goodness, as well as for those who are thirsty within my body. Begin to dig ditches in dry places with humility and goodness. Lean upon me, trust in me. Do not lean upon your own understanding, for you have well seen that having done this in the past, you have missed many opportunities to prepare a way of salvation for others. Isaiah 48:10, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. So comfort yourself, weary and tried believer, with this thought. Does not the word come like a soft shower, quieting the fury of the flame? Is it not a fireproof armor against the heat, which will then have no power? Whatever happens to you in this valley of weeping, know that I have chosen it for you. If you still require an even greater comfort, remember that you have the Son of Man with you in the valley. In that secret place with you, there he sits by your side, one whom you have not seen, but whom you love. And whether you know it or not, your friend sticks closely by you. I will never leave one whom I have chosen as my own. Great grace, great mercy, great promise. All these are yours, extended from my hand and for you to extend from your hand. Now is the time to live out the heart and life of the servant as I lead you with the little light that you have now. It is all you need as long as it comes from me. It is a time to learn to march forward, to dig ditches, to prepare so that others may also drink freely with no restraints. When I come and speak to you and move among you, I express everything that is pure and lovely and have a good report, and sin and uncleanliness depart. Peace also reigns when I move with humble power. Gentleness will be the result of my transforming power. Harmlessness will follow, for hearts that are touched by me are always meek and lowly. My grace is sufficient for you, and you will find it if you will seek it, and above all, if you will express it. 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in me. As a reservoir empties itself into pipes, so have I emptied out my grace for my people. Of my fullness you have received grace for grace. Grace is always available for me without price. Psalm 19:13. So keep yourselves from overconfident, arrogant sins. You will surely stumble if you look away from the one who is able to keep you from falling. If your love is fervent, your faith constant, and your hope bright, continue nonetheless to be on your guard and cry out, "Keep us from temptation." The seasons revolve according to my divine appointment, and man cannot change their schedule. In the spiritual as in the natural realm, man's power is limited. I alone can remove the winter of spiritual death from an individual or from a church. Let me hear you say, "Not my will, but as you will, O Lord." As you yield, I will yield. Let it be as I desire, as I will. Allow me to determine the best. Be content to leave your prayer and your petitions in my hands. I know when to give, how to give, what to give, and what to withhold. As you visit me in the secret place of repentance and brokenness, as the path becomes narrower, seeking me earnestly and oftentimes pleading with humility and resignation, you shall surely prevail. I am the light on your pathway, and I am all you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we join together and bow low before you, saying, "Not my will, but as you will, O Lord." We yield. Let it be as you desire. Lord, we allow you to take our talents, our time, our skills, our resources. We allow you to take them all and distribute and freely use them so that your kingdom might be exalted. Lord, we lay down our own concepts of what we think we have a right to or what we have to watch over and be cautious with. Lord, I ask that you open the eyes of our understanding and the understanding of anyone listening to understand that if we have to hold on to something too tightly, that we already have lost the ability to function in it. Lord, we release to you our heart's desires, knowing that you will put within us your heart's desire. We bless you, we honor you, we worship you. We resist the pull of the enemy to cause us to want to relax at this time in our life and fit in, or not rock the boat too loudly when there is so much evil spouting out in the world. Father, make us strong in the ability to be bold, but with wisdom, Lord. Temper our attitudes and our opinions so that they might always be seasoned with grace. And Lord, help us to understand that we can extend our hand of mercy even to the most wicked of sinners, that you extended it to us in our sin, and you, instead of bringing a harsh judgment, you instead gave us a hand of help out into an eternal kingdom. We bless you, Lord. We thank you so much that you continue to do a work in our lives deep within those places that are still very self-focused and very dark. We resist the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of control, the need to be right, the need to manipulate, the need to have a title. We resist those soulical, fleshly things, and we instead say, you alone and you only alone are the King of glory, and you deserve the highest place of praise. And we bow before you as servants who are thankful to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. I bless you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you are looking for more materials, you can always go to my website and click on the area that says podcast. That is www.marylindo.com. I bless you today, and I look forward to talking to you again. Goodbye for now.